In our preparation for this conference, we prayed much. I also believe that the brothers here and the saints in Fayengan, we don't just want to have any kind of a conference or find some kind of topic. No, that's not the point. But we want to know exactly what the Lord is doing today and how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord. Of course, all believers, Christians, know that the Lord is coming. And many things have happened today, and many Christians have been awakened to know or to have a sense the Lord is coming soon. It's amazing. In the last months, and even half a year ago, on the YouTube in the U.S., many believers spoke about the coming of the Lord. And suddenly, there were so many comments about the red heifer. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Before that, no one mentioned it, about the red heifer. And now even Hamas spoke about it, saying that the attack on Israel on October 7th of last year was because of the red heifer. What? Red heifer causes an attack on Israel? Is that even reasonable? Even a war? It caused a war? That poor red heifer. It doesn't make any sense. But even the enemy knows what it's all about. And the devil also knows. Of course he knows. And I thank the Lord that he's giving us signs that the whole world will know that the Lord is coming soon. And now even the enemy has the consciousness, oh, it's happening soon. It's happening soon. And also in the U.S., I don't think in Europe, but they've spoken about the solar eclipse. And even many Christians have spoken about it. The Lord gave us this sign to show that he is coming soon. He didn't even show it just to us Christians, but he wants the whole world to know. Even now, Trump in the USA encouraged, he got a new King James Version. It was to be printed in the new King James Version, a summary about the U.S., and told the whole nation that they should all buy a copy. What the U.S. needs is God's word, and you all need to have a copy. Copy of the Bible. And what did we hear today? What he just spoke a few days ago. Stand up. Let everyone hear. Let it go ahead and play the recording. Don't we have a microphone? Oh, they're going to play the recording. It's good to hear it. Because the whole world has painted him in such a bad way and said that he's an evil man. Right? And now we have seen, even in Germany, on this Friday, that there's a demonic dance on this day, Good Friday. I just saw it this afternoon. It's terrible. Good. Go ahead. That's the voice of Trump. Christ is risen. Christ is risen, he said. The president was preaching Christ is risen. Continue. Okay. Can you imagine that? Can an evil man as Trump, could he preach like that to the entire nation? That in this time, we are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can I say? Whatever the media has said, it's a lie. But I can testify, surely the Lord has chosen this man. Remember, when we were speaking about Isaiah in the conference, we even said that Trump is the modern day Cyrus. And sure enough, the Israelites, after Trump declared Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel, they minted a coin specifically for that purpose. And on this coin, you saw today who the guests were at our place, and you saw that coin. A picture of Trump with King Cyrus. And there, the Israelites, the Jews, said, Trump is the modern day Cyrus of today. We already said that in the conference in Isaiah 45. This is truly the case. He also is a sign. We have to see this. He also is a sign. The Lord gave the world so many signs. But what is important for us, and the most important sign for us, is that the Lord is restoring the priesthood. Why? Because this priesthood, the ministry, the service of the priesthood is the goal that God wants to reach. Let us read Revelation together. Let the word speak for itself. Revelation chapter 1, at the end of verse 5 and 6. I'll read it to you. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, praise the Lord, the firstborn from the dead. This is very important to see the firstborn. Then we are the many brethren. And the ruler over the kings of the earth. Oh, he's going to get the Zion translation. He also has the Zion translation there. And the Lord is the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Then there's no period there, but you have to continue. Because redemption is not the goal. The goal is to make us kings and priests. Or another translation says, to a kingdom of priests. That is exactly what Exodus chapter 19 spoke, what the Lord God spoke in Exodus 19 to his people after his people came out of Egypt. God said, if you will walk according to my commandments and obey my words, you will be to me a kingdom of priests. Amen. And at the end, Revelation emphasizes this goal again. Why did the Lord redeem us? Why did he pay such a price to redeem humanity? To gain it back, because already at the very beginning, God created man to reign for God, to have dominion, to reign together with Christ as a man. Man is so important. Your calling is very important. Our calling is not just to do some work for Christ and to tell other people about it. To tell other people about the Lord so they would be saved. For what? To go to heaven? The Lord wants to come back on this earth, but the Christians want to go up there. They're going in the opposite direction. The Lord wants to come back on this earth, but they all want to go up. Where would you rather be? Tell me. No question. No question. You want to go to heaven. Just for a short time. It'll be just short to the throne. Some people ask me, what are we going to do up there? What do you think the Lord is going to do with us? What does he want to do? Hold a conference? No. No. He wants to train us for 3.5 years to rule and reign with him on this earth. Don't think, yeah, we'll go up there before the throne and we'll stand there and we'll enjoy the angelic choir. No, there's a lot to do. Do you think it's simple to reign? Okay, go ahead and rule over Stuttgart. Please, try it. How will you rule and reign? Tell me. We cannot even rule over our own life. This is really the case. So, today we have to allow the Lord to reign in us. If the king is just sitting up there and not in your heart, what can we do? Today, the Lord must already reign over us. We call him Lord, but we don't do what he says. That's why people say, Lord, 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 oh Lord, oh Lord, Lord, Lord there, Lord over there, Lord this and that. But is he truly your Lord, which is the meaning that he's your Lord? Is he ruling in your heart? Are you doing what he is telling us to do today? And who's reigning over your thoughts during the day? We occupy ourselves with so many things and don't ask what the Lord wants. And the Lord also came on this earth and he said, these people praise me with their lips, but their heart is where? Far, far from me. Are we such people? If we want to reign with him in his kingdom, then we first have to learn today to allow him to reign in our hearts, to do what he wants. Just as the Lord, when he was on this earth as a man, he had to learn obedience. I did not grasp this before. I thought, of course, you're the Son of God. Of course you're going to listen to God, obey him. Then I read in Hebrews chapter 5 that also the Lord had to learn obedience, even with tears. He had to learn. He had to fight as a man. He came in the form of the flesh, although it was without sin, but he could feel the weakness of man. Otherwise, he would not be able to help us. Otherwise, he would not be able to understand, Philip, why are you so disobedient? You see, I'm so obedient. Then he cannot understand us, but he could feel the pressure, the resistance of the flesh. That's why, as a man, just as you and I, he had to learn obedience. And even with tears and with crying out, Lord, Father, help me, free me, liberate me. But we don't have this attitude. So if we don't obey and we just do this and we rebel against God, then we say, oh, I'm just a man. Then we have a good excuse. Nobody's perfect. Ha ha. Have you ever heard that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't have this inner desire and cry to the Father, I want to learn obedience. I hate this rebellion in my heart. I am not okay with my condition. I don't agree with it. I want to learn obedience. But the Lord cried out with vehement tears to the one who could save him. If we don't have this attitude, then we will have so many excuses. I'm right. Aren't I right? That wasn't so bad. Then we give all kind of excuses. But as a man who lived on this earth, that's why he was so qualified to be our high priest. Because he, in all things, Hebrews says, all things, he was made equal to us, that he could understand us. Otherwise, he could not be able to help us. But praise the Lord, now he is such a high priest who is able to help us, but we don't allow ourselves to be helped. That's the problem. Hebrews says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, and he was tried and tempted as us we were, and he overcame, not because he was God. No, he left his stand of godhood as the Son of God. He left his standing and became as a man. Satan told him, if you are the Son of God, then turn this stone to bread. Satan wanted to tell him, of course, you can do that. You're not a man, you're God. But the Lord said, man does not live on bread alone. Satan says, you're God's son. And he said, no, I'm just a man. Yeah. So the Lord came as a man. We must see this. His incarnation is an important step. His being a man is a very important step because we are men. He cannot help us if he doesn't fully understand us. That's why he went through all kinds of testing. No one suffered more than this man. Oh, when somebody just offends you, then you'll already explode. Right? In his whole life, they lied about him. And they wanted to even kill him at the end. How did the Lord react? How would you react? Nobody except for him. No one except for him. That's why we have to treasure the humanity of the Lord. Not just his death on the cross. It's nothing to compare with the entire time of persecution that he suffered. His death on the cross was just for a few hours and then it was done. But his whole life on this earth, as a man, he was so persecuted. And this is what we have to also learn as priests. Otherwise, we cannot serve. That's why we Christians have divided so many times. We can't stand each other. Just have a little difference of opinions, please. Get out of here. You can't come to the meeting anymore. You can't even speak about the true worship in John chapter 4. I don't agree with this, even though it is according to the scripture. And many other things. How many fights have begun because of difference of opinions about the scripture? We fight about every verse. Right? Our humanity is so fallen. That's why the Lord came. He came as a man to save us. I can truly not describe it. I cannot describe it enough. How to make it clear how important this incarnation is. If we speak about Christ's work, we always speak about the crucifixion. But the Lord suffered more as a man when he lived on this earth. He was tested in all things, in all kinds of ways. Who can understand and grasp this? Who can grasp this? And we? Even after we were saved, we have so many problems. We can't even suffer a little bit. And if someone criticizes something, oh, then already days and nights, we can't sleep. This is truly the case. We're not in the belly of the whale, but you can't even sleep on the bed. This is how we are. Fallen. We are afraid of suffering. That's why there's so much fighting in amongst the people, and the families, in the marriages, in the church. My goodness. That's why we have to treasure the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there's the meal offering. The humanity. Without sauerkraut, but without leaven. In German, leaven sounds like sauerkraut. Without leaven, without sin. Not that he wasn't tempted. No, he experienced more temptation than each one of us, even more than all of us put together. What a man! Even Pilate had to confess. What a man! So today we also have to see what a man. Then we have to treasure the Lord. To eat this meal offering is so important for the priests. That's why in the sanctuary there was a golden table with chicken. No. Beef. Vegetable salad, as what we had for lunch today? No. What was on the golden table? Unleavened bread, baked fresh, the show bread. God has to see it. He has to test it. He wants to test it. 6 days it has to stay there before the priests are allowed to eat it. This is the food, special food for the priests. The bread from heaven, the unleavened bread. A picture is better than 1,000 words. Otherwise, how could a man describe this? So praise the Lord. As priests, we must eat this food. His humanity, we have to enjoy his humanity. Eat it. Eat it. Daily, eat it. You can't just eat one day for the whole week. Nobody does that. It's impossible. One breakfast is enough for the whole week, especially for your work. That doesn't work. We have to eat this bread daily. Otherwise, we cannot reign. What we need and what is very necessary is not just the forgiveness of sins. After the Lord forgave your sins and cleansed them by his blood, then you're super strong. No. The blood is just for the cleansing. Just the cleansing. It's the eating that makes you strong and healthy. He who eats me, he shall live by me. The Lord said that. He who eats me, I am the bread that came down from heaven to save man. Actually, to save man. Why did the Lord have to become a man? To save man, whom he created for his purpose. Look, the Lord gave fallen man 6,000 years to reign. What was their ruling like? How can they reign? It was broken. Wars, murder, corruption. They wanted to have power. And if you don't agree, done. In every country, in every kingdom, it's like this. If you don't bow down to this statue and worship it at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and at the time of Darius, what would happen to you? They would throw you into the furnace. Fortunately, they only threw out a few people. They didn't throw them into the furnace. But you know, if someone hates a brother, in his heart he already committed murder. The Lord said this. Lord Jesus. Then where did they throw Daniel? Into the lion's den. This is how they rule. And the whole world, whether it's here in Europe or in Asia, they're not any better. We are all flesh, born of Adam. That which is born of flesh, the Lord said, is flesh. That means it remains flesh. That's why we must be born again, to receive a whole nother life. So, praise the Lord. To rule, we need a new humanity. That's why God's work with Jesus Christ begins not only with the incarnation, but in the incarnation he overcame Satan, not as God's son. Otherwise, Satan would say, you're God, of course. What am I? But you're God, of course you're going to win. Before God, there's this little the serpent and the dragon is just like a little ant. He just has to blow it and it's gone. Just one breath. But God doesn't want to do that. And that's so important. God wants to use us to use man. That's why he paid such a high price to redeem us, to bring us back to God, not so that we would enjoy heaven up there. No. Already from the very beginning, that's why at the very beginning we said, God never changes his purpose. And he will never give up on it. Even though man had fallen, God already knew. He didn't stop man. Do you think God didn't know that the serpent would come in? Of course he knew it. But God let it happen. He already had his solution just with Job. God had a conference up there with the sons of God, with the angels. And who appeared there, Philip? Satan. No. We have to throw him out. What? You invited Satan to the conference with God? Would you do that? I don't think so. But God is different. He let Satan come. Then God said, oh, where do you come from? Of course, God knew. Yeah. I am going to and fro on the earth. What do you think he was doing to and fro? He's looking to devour men, just as is written. just like a lion. Then God said, okay. Have you seen my servant Job? Praise the Lord. God had one person on this earth at that time, and he challenged Satan. What a victory for God through Job. Then Satan told God, of course he loves you because you've given him everything. Look how much blessing you've given to this man. Of course, this man loves you, loves God. What did God say? Do whatever you want to do with this man. Just, you may not take his life. Actually, Job is a small picture of our Lord who became a man on this earth, and Satan did everything to finish him off or to put him underneath his own feet. Praise the Lord. What a man. And God's work began with the incarnation of Christ. And through the cross, he accomplished redemption. Is that good enough? No. Death was not the end for him. He resurrected. He overcame death. The strongest enemy is death. We still have to see this. Death. That's why we need the red heifer. The Lord is not just the Lamb of God that died for us on the cross, but he is also the red heifer. Right? It's your turn about the red heifer, right? Good. Praise the Lord. But no one is speaking about the red heifer. Marcos is going to speak about it. They just speak of the Passover lamb, but no one is speaking about the red heifer. The Lord is risen. And Paul wants to know the power of his resurrection. Everyone knows the Lord resurrected. That's why we have these vacation days or celebration. But if the resurrection of Jesus is just a vacation day, then it's not worth anything. Even Trump knows it. A holiday, sorry. But Paul wants to experience the power of his resurrection because Paul understood death, not just sin. We only recognize the problem of sin, but we don't recognize the problem of death. So the Lord had to resurrect from the dead. Praise the Lord. So wonderful. He resurrected. He had the victory over death. He even had the keys of death, Hades, and of death. It's in his hand. He who has the keys, he rules. He reigns. Praise the Lord. He has the keys. That's why in Revelation chapter 1, at the end of the chapter, do not fear. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, from eternity to eternity. And not just that he's alive, now he is reigning over death and Hades. What a Christ. And is that all? The resurrection, isn't that good enough? Is that the most important? What is the most important? That he ascended and that he's sitting on the throne as a man. Why? Because God's plan is that we should reign. Why doesn't the Lord just reign right away? Because he wants many to reign together with him. That's why the goal in Revelation, the goal of redemption, is to make us a kingdom of priests. And chapter 5 says that we will reign not in heaven, but we will reign on the earth. They shall reign in the heaven. No. You cannot reign up there. He can reign, but not you. But the Lord, when he comes down and returns to this earth in the millennial kingdom, we shall reign with him together. Let us read Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. The epistle of Hebrews chapter 2. And this is a quote of Psalm 8, but here we can read it better. In verse 5. It's so wonderful to read this verse. We don't need to say very much because it's written so clearly. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. This is very important. When did God give the angels, make this world subject to the angels? When? Before Adam. When God created the world, before he created the earth, he created the angelic beings. In Job chapter 31, God asked Job, "Where were you when I created the earth?" Of course, he wasn't there, but God just wanted to emphasize that. And God even founded the earth, laid the foundation of the earth. He laid the foundation. God didn't create chaos. He laid the foundation. He measured everything, right? So beautifully, he created the earth that all the sons of God, which were the angels, were rejoicing and praising. It was so wonderful. Do you think that God would create chaos? What would you say? If you had been an angel at that time, would you have been praising, rejoicing? Oh, what a chaos! And what I want to say with this, the angels ruled first. The archangel at that time, Lucifer, he was also the morning star. That was his name. So beautiful, so perfect. Not perfect, but he was the wisest among the angels. He ruled. And in the end, he wanted to become God. Such stupidity. And to say, to summarize, he fell. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 describes that very clearly. But God, from the very beginning, he did not intend that the angels would reign forever. Then, in Genesis chapter 1, God created man to have dominion. He did not create angels to rule. That was the time before Adam. That's why it says, "For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels." He did not make it in subjection to angels. Hebrews says this. But man. That's why he quoted Psalm 8. But one testified in a certain place, just somewhere. David wrote that and said, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" My. What is man? Oh, this sentence sounds like music to my ears. I'm glad that I'm not an angel. Or would you rather be an angel? Oh, yeah, look, is there an angel? Oh, we already showed this in the previous times. What is man? You have to treasure that you are a man. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that the Lord often called himself Son of Man, that you take care of him? He came to visit us, to take care of us. You have made him a little lower than the angels, lowered him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Wow. This is your future. That's why you should not love the world. It's nothing. In the world, you have no future. Your boss will not crown you with glory and honor. He might give you a couple of euros. Yeah, that's okay. Crown him with glory and honor. And what is he's referring to? Jesus. And set him over the works of your hands. This was actually intended for man right from the beginning. That's what God said in Genesis chapter 1. Then he said, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet." And in a certain way, it's true. Look, all the animals are under our feet. That's why you have so many pets, cats and dogs, rabbits. Oh, Lord. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing." He left nothing, not even that dragon and the snake, the serpent. "He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him." Not yet. But we see Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's so important. Jesus wants to recover everything that God originally had planned with man. That's why everything that the Lord did is for us. Isn't that wonderful? You just believe on salvation, on one who talks, who saves you from your sin, but you don't see more, and you want to go to heaven. What are you going to do there? Billy Graham said, someone asked Billy Graham, this is truly the case. You can verify this on YouTube. You all want to go to heaven. What are you going to do in heaven? Billy Graham said, I want to play golf there. I can also do that on earth. Even in Mar-a-Lago, I can do that. play golf. It's so sad. It's not a joke. It's sad. That we Christians, what are you going to do there in heaven? The Lord wants us to reign on the earth. This is our calling. This is your calling. Your calling. We think of our calling too low. To be a king, we have to learn today to be priests. Don't think, oh yeah, to be a priest, we just bring sacrifices to God. You should think that it's not so simple just to bring an offering to God and the best. Do you think that God is only satisfied with that? Why did he do that? It's not for him, but it's for us that we would learn to enjoy Christ, to experience him just as who Christ is, to train us to be like Jesus Christ. He came as one who was fully for God and for his plan. See, behold, I have come to do your will. And what are we doing? We people, what are we doing? We're just doing what we want. Our view, our vision is too low. Maybe you just have, maybe your goal is just to become the boss in your company. Maybe your goal is to have a lot of money and to have a great house or to build a great meeting. You can have it. It doesn't matter. What is your desire today on this earth? What do you want to accomplish on this earth? Tell me. What is your goal? Even as believers, as children of God, we have to have a vision of what God wants. When the Lord came, we can also read in John chapter 6, my food is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. And we just do a half-hearted thing. In the end, we're too tired, or we change our mind. And we give up. And we just get to this point and we don't continue. Someone at that time said, we don't need any more new revelation. We just need to heat up the old soup. To drink the old soup. We like to eat that. Do you think that the Lord has nothing to show us anymore? Are we already Dr. Know-It-All? We're a doctor, but not Dr. Know-It-All. Are you? Paul, who wrote Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, all these epistles, he said, not that I have attained. He said in Colossians, today we only know in part. Sorry, in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians. Today we only know in part. Or do you already know everything? Are you already satisfied? Who is already satisfied, if I may ask? At that time, I thought, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I have not attained? and not that I've already been made perfect. Oh, but he wants to pursue. He wants to continue to go forward to the goal. And he said, I want to know him more. So if we haven't even known him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, how much sufferings of Christ have you truly experienced today? As a priest, you cannot suffer? Then, how can you serve as a priest? Instead of carrying the saints on your shoulder, you'd say, I don't like that one. I'm going to take him away and throw him out. We have to be able to carry, to bear the load. If you can't bear, then you have to amputate them. At the end, you're going to amputate this member, that foot, and this foot, and then what's left of the body of Christ? It doesn't work that way. It's not okay. As priests, do you think the Lord wants to amputate us? How often have you offended the Lord or done something against him or been disobedient? How often? You cannot count it. He said, he doesn't even know how often because it was too often. Did he amputate you? Thank God not. Instead, he saved you. He saved us all. That today we can still go onward is the God's grace and mercy. Blessed are those who are merciful. Right? Are we merciful? Oh, Lord Jesus. Such a man. That's why we need these different offerings. Without Leviticus, you cannot fully grasp Christ, comprehend Christ. Some will say, oh, that's the Old Testament. No, that's the Scripture. The Old Covenant means that God deals with us according to the law. That's the covenant that God made with his people at that time. But from Genesis to Malachi, those are the holy scriptures. God quoted the holy scripture. He did not quote the old covenant. All scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. Is profitable. How would you say that it's not profitable today? That's Old Testament. No. That's the Holy Scripture. God-breathed. Do you think that you don't need the Ten Commandments today? Do you think that it's not necessary to love God with your whole heart? That's the first commandment. Even the Lord himself said, all the commandments are summarized in two. First, you should love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And the second is the same as the first. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And then if you amputate me, then you amputated yourself. Because I am your next, I am your neighbor. So, do you not need the Ten Commandments? Can you have divorce today? Can you steal and lie? Are you allowed to do that? Oh yeah, that's Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. No. The Lord said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Praise the Lord. And now we can also fulfill it because this, the one who fulfilled all it, all of the law, is dwelling in us. How can we say, no, we don't need it anymore? No, it's exactly the opposite. We can, we need to, and we can fulfill it. But not through ourselves, but through this wonderful Christ who is our life. We are now children of God. We partake of His nature. We eat Him. We live through Him. And that is the reality of all the offerings. We have to learn to eat Christ. Don't think it's so simple. It's not just the fine flour and that's all. In German, do you eat fine flour every morning? Fine flour. Did you eat fine flour this morning with coffee? It has to be processed, mingled with oil, and then it needs to be baked. What does it mean to be baked? Would you like to be baked? To be in the oven or to be in the pot? There are many kinds of ways to make the cakes. Do you think that the preparation is simple? Like making a cake or a little roll, a bread roll? It has to be baked. Go through the fire. Malachi said, as the fine, the gold and silver has to be refined by the fire, purified. Someone once asked a question, one who refined silver. He was purifying silver. How do you do that? And how long should it remain in the fire? You know what the answer was? He sits there. That man who is refining the silver. The question was, how long? He has to pay attention and look and sit there with patience until in this pot where the silver is being purified and purged, he can see his reflection, his face. So this silver that's being refined will reflect his countenance. Then it's finished. And the Lord compared himself to one who sits as a purifier of silver. That's what Malachi 3 says at the end. Until he can see his own image in us. This is the transformation. This is the transformation. This is the way. And he has to wait a long time. He has to be patient. So it's not so simple to be a priest. And then we have to learn to experience Christ as a burnt offering, a meal offering, mingled with this oil, the cakes, and everything that needs to be prepared. That means the Lord went through all kinds of suffering. This is the way to eat Jesus Christ as the meal offering. Yes. If we do not do this, then we will have problems. And that's why God is requiring us to bring these sacrifices. If God would not require it, you would never do it. Nobody would do it. Because in ourself and in our flesh, we're not ready. That's why there's so many problems. In the last 60 years of my life, I saw so many problems. Not from the world. Of course, in the world, that happens anyway, but among us Christians. And in myself. We see all these problems. Then we have the peace offering. The peace offering. Simple? Is it simple to have peace? Do we have peace at home? Or peace in your heart? Peace with yourself? Even with ourselves, we don't have peace. There's so many problems, but He is our peace offering. The priests need this to perfect us. It's not just so that we bring something on Sundays, on the Lord's Day at the feast. No. Peace. Praise the Lord for the peace. The world longs for peace. We used to have a song like that. And still, there was still fighting and war, not only in the world, but among us Christians. Peace offering. Do we like that? Do you like to bring peace offerings? Isn't it wonderful to bring the Father a peace offering? When His kingdom comes, it is a kingdom of righteousness and peace. But if we do not have peace today and make peace, blessed are what? Are the peacemakers. Peacemakers, not troublemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. This is a characteristic of a grown son of God, mature son of God. If we are children, children like to fight. That's their nature. That's their liberty to fight. But I hope that we're not fighting so often anymore. The more we grow, the less we should be fighting. These sacrifices, our offerings, are according to God's wisdom for us, not just for Him. God does not need peace. He is not fighting with anyone. Or did God ever fight with you or fight with the angels there? So, peace offering. He doesn't need it for himself, but he needs it for you, for us, for the priests. We need peace. That's why we must experience Christ as our peace. He is our peace. Is he not our peace? Where is it written? Ephesians chapter 2. And the gospel is the gospel of salvation. In Ephesians, it's called the gospel of peace. And in a strange way, we Christians are fighting without this peace. We're saved, but we don't have peace. So what kind of gospel have we preached? Wherever we Christians go, we should be shod with the gospel. Our feet should be shod with the gospel, and we should bring peace. O Lord. That's why, as priests, we need all these offerings. The others will say, that's Old Testament. No, no. We are not burning any animals here. In the end, the whole school here would burn up. And surely they will not allow us to gather together. Then, with this peace offering, we have the wave offering of resurrection. You have the breast as the wave offering. You have to wave. We have to wave the breast of the peace offering. That means the resurrection. Why are we fighting? Because even though we speak about life, so often we're in death. And he who is in death, what is Ephesians chapter 2? We used to live, we were dead in our trespasses. Could you please read this? Do we still have time? Yes, could you please read this? And you, just read it there. And you he made alive. No, you who are dead. Oh, sorry, who were dead. The people would say, no, we're not dead, I'm alive. But it's a special dead. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the course of this world. Why do we still love this world? Not because we're sinful, but because we were dead. That's the death. Death is still influencing us, according to the prince of the power of the air. Yes, they still reign over us. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. In the lusts of our flesh. Continue. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Thank you. That's good enough. That's a description of death. Not that we are experiencing a physical death, but this death, once the sin comes in, death enters. And this is the appearance of a living dead. We are alive, but we are dead. You are dead in your trespasses. That means according to what God is and his nature, we cannot just follow him. We are weak. Why are we so weak? Why are we so weak when it comes to spiritual things? When we read the Bible, we're tired. When we fight, we're very alive. That is death. That's a short description of what death means. Even as Christians, we still have the lusts of the flesh that's reigning over us, and it draws us. We know what we should do, but we still have this desire to fight. We can't resist it. We can't resist it. When thoughts come, we cannot avoid them and say no to them. We are disobedient when the Lord tells us to do something. It's not just sin, it's death. It makes us incapable to obey God, unable to. And then in the end, as Ephesians chapter 4, we are cut off from this life. We don't have any more sensitivity of life or sense for life. We've grown dull. The heart is darkened and hardened. This is what death does. This is how it is. And that's why without peace. Why do we know? We know that we shouldn't fight, but we still fight. We know we should love one another, but we can't. And the world draws us. We need this wave offering and the heave offering. The heave offering means that we stand above all the problems, not under. We're not under the weather, but over the weather. The higher we go, we sit with Him in the heavenly places, then all the problems are under our feet. Otherwise, the problems will sit on our head. Then we will have problems. We will have problems. All these things, all these offerings, we as priests have to know. The sin offering, our brother already spoke about it this morning. We must have a great sin offering, a big sin offering, to reign over sin and not to be ruled over by sin, but to rule over it. No, we've been made free. Sin should have no dominion over us, but not right away. But we have to learn to take this offering, to experience this offering, to eat it. We have to grow. Not that after we've been born again and been baptized that we won't sin anymore. No, that's not according to our experience in our Christian life. But the more the life grows in us, the more we experience Christ as the sin offering, the more we will be set free. Praise the Lord. In the end, we will reign and say, "No, get behind me, Satan." Right? So all these offerings that we are experiencing today is a training for the priesthood. Subconsciously. This is the wisdom of God. Many will say, "That's Old Testament. We don't need it." Who says that? Yeah. Do you think the Passover is not effective for us today? Doesn't count for us today? What is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7? It says, "Christ, our Passover." He is the Lamb, the Passover Lamb that was slain. That's why we know that we don't have to keep the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. But we do. We have to keep the Feast of the Unleavened. The unleavened bread, not the sauerkraut. Wonderful. We are doing precisely that which the Lord has told us to do in the scripture. Praise the Lord. This is truly wonderful. And Christ is our drink offering. He gave himself. All the apostles, at the end, they were all martyrs. Paul knew that he would die. When he knew he would die soon, he said, I am prepared to be poured out as a drink offering. This consecration is so absolute. All the apostles, in the end, they really became martyrs. Our consecration is just when I have time, right? Or what I like to do. No. The Lord did not do what he himself liked to do. What pleased him. So praise the Lord. I hope we see how important this priestly service is. And we have much more to learn. Don't think that we already know everything. And tonight, I just want to simply strengthen this consciousness in us, how precious it is for the preparation. Many have asked, how can we prepare for the Lord's return? This is the secret. This is the way. Our priestly service is the way to eat and drink Christ. This is the privilege of the priests. They have a special food. Praise the Lord. If we can get a good grip on all of these and learn these offerings and bring them even better to the Father, subconsciously or unconsciously, even if we don't realize that we're changing, you will see that this is the real change. You might not even know yourself that you have been changed. Because it's the growth in life. You don't even know that you have become different, but the others will see it. Praise the Lord. Every year, you'll grow. Were you conscious that you grew? No, but we're growing. We don't need to have a consciousness that we're growing, but look. We are not the same as before. And this is the transformation by life. Praise the Lord. You don't have to test yourselves, whether you grew or not. Nobody does that. Even not spiritually. But if we are faithful daily to experience Christ and do everything together with the Lord, you will be transformed. It's not even necessary to be conscious. Oh yes, now I have grown. No, that's not necessary. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the priestly service. So, praise the Lord. Continue to practice in Germany. Okay? Every day, all the time, at home, in everything that you're doing, don't murmur and complain, but enjoy Christ. Eat him. The bread of life experience Christ as a burnt offering, then you will realize that your life will change, even that you're conscious, even though you're not aware that you changed. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! If we see this, then you will not despise the priestly service, and you will not underestimate it. It's not just one thing that we do among many things. No, this priestly service encompasses every part of the Christian life and for the building up of the church. You speak of building up of the church, and then everything collapses. We speak about so many things. In the end, what is the result? But the priestly service, if the Lord would open our eyes, is truly all-encompassing, all-inclusive, because we experience this wonderful Christ in all his circumstances. And this is God's will. The zeal for God's house has eaten me up. How? Through life, not through a certain special teaching or doctrine. That will never build anyone up. But Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, regardless of what he did, he was for the building up of God's house. Even his death, his resurrection. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it." What kind of building? What did the Lord build in 3 days? He began to build his church. What is his church? This priestly service. A kingdom of priests. Zion, where the Lord is the cornerstone. Where he is head over all things. Where he is the king. And built up with living stones. Praise the Lord, a spiritual house. Good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we know how we should prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Practice, continue to practice.